Today we are joined by Ingrid Tobar. Ingrid Tobar is a data scientist here at Anadarko. Thanks for coming on, Ingrid.
Thank you.
How long have you been working here for, Ingrid?
I have been here for 2 years and a half almost.
Mm-hmm. And you've been a data scientist like the whole time, pretty much, and you've been in the advanced analytics and emerging technologies team?
That is correct. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, so I think you've worked on quite a few very interesting projects during the time that you've been here. Would you mind telling us about maybe one of the more interesting projects and kind of how it came about?
Sure. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity. One of the most interesting projects that I was part of was the first project that I supported when I came to Anadarko. It was, the name of the project was Rapid Basin Evaluation. The goal was to reduce the timeline and the length of time that it would take us to do the evaluation of a basin from starting to gather data, analyzing the data, understanding the complexity of the basin, understanding what the estimated reserves were in the basin, and making an assessment on the production of that play. The idea was to shorten that length of time from about a year, which is what normally would take, to 2 months. So it was high intensity. It was a lot of figuring out the strategy, what worked best for us to accomplish that goal. And we had a multidisciplinary team of data scientists, geoscientists, engineers, developers working on this project, helping to streamline the processes and coming up with a strategy that would help us to get to that goal of the 2 months of an evaluation.
So what are the pieces that in the traditional way that this is done? So you're looking at a new basin and you're trying to evaluate again if there's like a decent amount of oil and gas to extract out of the basin, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. and so in that traditional way that it was done before you had stepped in to work on it, what were the pieces that were kind of very time consuming that you were able to help accelerate a little bit?
The most time consuming piece is gathering the data and oftentimes cleaning the data, because we have to make sure that things are normalized, that things are proper before you put them into analysis. So all of that data gathering process is very time consuming. Also, some of the data types that we deal with normally are not easy to come by. Seismic data takes a long time to acquire. Geochemistry data is not readily available. So some of these things actually are the things that make that timeline so lengthy. In this project, what we actually did was let's find out what actually we can keep from the data sets that we have available. How can we clean the data quickly and get to the data in a ready state process quickly enough and move forward with the process with the data that we had?
And so if I'm not mistaken, so there was a particular piece that you kind of worked on in this process, and this was was it well logs that you were looking at? What was the exact data that you were working on for your piece again?
So the piece that I supported was the mapping component. That's what the geologists would call the mapping. What they do is look at different geological parameters across the space from well data and create an interpolated surface of those parameters across the basin space. Why do we do that? It's because we need to assess the distribution of those parameters across the basin. So the piece that I supported was actually creating the interpolations and streamlining the process of getting the well data interpolated across surfaces, across different formation targets, and helping provide some of the data values of those geological properties sampled back onto the well locations.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the parameters that are getting interpolated again?
Different properties like temperature, porosity, isopach structure, nutrient density, the different properties that the geologists look like to evaluate the quality of the rock. And mm-hmm. the quality equates to the capacity of that rock to harbor hydrocarbons, which is what we are looking for.
Yeah. And so you basically sampled a bunch of different points around the basin. Is that right?
So we have the data from the wells.
Yeah, all across the basin.
The well locations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you want to try to kind of extrapolate in between the wells?
Correct. We create interpolations between the wells where we don't have data. The interpolated values is what we assess that is the best guess of what that property would be at that location.
Uh-huh. Like in between, yep. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately you can do that throughout the whole area.
Correct.
To try to find the... Yep. And then ultimately that would be fed into something that would try to actually estimate how much oil and gas could be extracted from like particular
locations. So these interpolated surfaces then are fed into a multivariate analysis, another part of the workflow, that ultimately looks at assessing the quality of that reservoir, the total capacity of it, and the different maturity benches of that reservoir. If it is a play that is relatively mature that we can actually will make profit from, mm-hmm. or if it is a play that is not as mature, then we may not be so interested in. All of these goes into that assessment. The idea is to highlight the areas that have more potential for us to extract hydrocarbons successfully and with production rates that are sustainable. Mm-hmm.
So why don't we go a little bit into the details of a couple pieces here. So you have all of these points across the space of this basin, and you're trying to interpolate in between all of these wells as to what's mm-hmm. going on under the earth, right? Mm-hmm. So how exactly do you do that? I think it's not 100% straightforward, the method that you used mm-hmm. for that. It was kind of a little bit more of an advanced data science method, if you will. So of course, you can start with something, let's say, like linear interpolation,
mm-hmm.
Where right. you would basically just draw a line in between all the points that you have,
right?
And then, but that's not what you used. You did something a little bit more fancy, right?
Yes. Traditionally, we would look at interpolation methods that are simpler, just for the sake of getting an interpolation done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that allows us to do is to get an assessment of what the distribution of these values will be in a space, but it's not always realistic and it doesn't always adhere to what we see in the geology.
Mm-hmm.
So we use methods like spline, minimum curvature, linear interpolation methods that are very generic. They give us smooth surfaces. But then on this particular workflow, we looked at kriging. And the reason why we looked at kriging is because it is one of the algorithms that takes into account the randomness of space and the randomness of the distribution of those data points across the space in order to make a better assessment of what the distribution would be like. And also because kriging allows us to examine the uncertainty of our estimates. So we use that in this particular workflow to come up with a better estimate of what the distribution of these parameters were.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. So once that's done, you said that gets fed into the next piece of the pipeline, which is going to be actually trying to figure out how much oil and gas is in there to extract. And then ultimately, this could be used for some kind of actual business decision,
mm-hmm.
which would be basically whether you want to go into the basin and actually
right.
Now this has been done sort of in the past, right? Because these basins have been evaluated in the past. So how would this have been done before some tools like these were created? Like traditionally, like the geos would just
mm-hmm.
kind of do this manually, or how would that work exactly?
The workflow would be relatively the same. Really the difference that we did on this particular project, it was on some of the data cleanup and data processing aspects, we batch streamed and scripted a lot of the mechanisms that we used.
Mm-hmm.
Even the kriging interpolation technique,
mm-hmm.
we scripted it and we batch processed it. What that allowed us to do was to have our hands free from the process once we had the parameters in place, a model built, and we were able to just feed the data through it. We could step back and let it run.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, the workflow would have been done by hand. For example, interpolating one map at a time, one property at a time, one formation target at a time, And imagine if you had 20 different properties that you need to interpolate and you have 10 different targets. So this would be a very time-consuming task, not only for you doing the interpolation, but also for the next person down the pipeline that is extracting data from those interpolations, and also for the multivariate analysis piece. So what we did was streamlining a lot of these processes to make sure that we were saving time, that we could actually have all the parameters in place that we needed, run the models, let them run, and then come back the next day and get the results.
Yeah, I think you had mentioned before that this whole process, which again in the past would have taken quite a long time, you had something you could basically just press run and it would take about a day or so to do the full, is that right, for the full basin?
Correct.
To do the full interpolation, it would take about a day?
We would actually leave it running overnight. Mm-hmm. So I had, on this particular project, we had about eight or different parameters that we were interpolating. And we had about 10 targets.
Uh-huh.
So we would leave
the targets are what again?
The target zones are the formations, the different formations that we were looking at. So we wanted to evaluate the play from a different depth.
The play? Is that like how much oil there is, basically?
The play is the basin, the reservoir.
Okay.
That's what we're after, right? So we were looking at starting at 4,000 feet beneath the surface to, I think the last bench was 18,000 feet. So we were looking at 4,000 feet of thickness. And in between those 4,000 feet, there's different formation layers because there are different stratigraphic formations. Mm-hmm. Each one of them has different properties. Each one of them will have a different interpolation done to them. So we were interpolating across all of these different targets, different formations, and we were interpolating different attributes. So again, we had eight different formations, maybe 10 different attributes. So this is a stack of maps at the end of the day of 80 maps that you have to create.
Very cool. And so, you know, I like what you had told me before about, in your mind, what sort of what data science is or how it should be used, like in oil and gas. And you had said something along the lines of it always is there to answer a business decision, something mm-hmm. like that. Does that sound about right to you? So each, you think every single task for a data scientist, there's pretty much some business question always that needs to be like answered.
There should be. If there isn't one, then I'm not sure why we would be here.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Everything that we do has a business scope mm-hmm. behind it. Some of the things that we do may or may not be as directly related to the assets or to the business itself. But at the end of the day, what we seek to do is to find value in what we do and use data science tools to provide value to the entity, to our company. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Sounds great. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. That's going to wrap up the part one, and we're going to have a very interesting part two coming up, getting to know a little bit more about Ingrid and her background. Thank you very much.
Thank you.